And when I made that amendment, it was my intent, it was not my intent that the city is obligated to come up with that $15 million from some other way. And I'm not ruling that out, but it was not my intent to necessarily say that remains a city obligation to find that $15 million. So my language basically removes both findings in the ordinance with respect to Peregrine cooperating with the city in securing $15 million of additional funding. But more relevant, it strikes the language that says the city shall identify and implement a strategy to secure the $15 million. I think that's consistent with the amendment I offered. That was certainly my intent, although I think a lot of people left, or it's been interpreted since that the city still has to come up with that $15 million. That's not my intent. If $15 million needs to be found, I'm not going to rule out the city, but I'm also not putting us on the hook absolutely for that. So that's my amendment strikes both those.
So it's been moved and seconded to adopt this amendment. Item number 427. Commissioner has made his point of view pretty clear. Is there discussion on council?
I'd like to say something about that. As one that was involved in bringing that last agreement to council, and as one who voted for the amendment that Commissioner Salzman alludes to, I said at the prior council that while I would vote for Commissioner Salzman's amendment to take the $15 million out of the proposed URA on the west side, it would be my intention to still identify that $15 million from coming from that source, albeit we'll have a broader discussion with the county and the school districts. I will support this amendment today, but I want to make it clear for the record, particularly to the other side that we negotiated with, that I would consider it to be bad faith on our part at this time to depend on them to come up with the $15 million, given the parameters of the negotiations we had, the financial responsibilities assigned to each party, and this was clearly in our negotiations a part of the financing that was assigned to us. I would be just as concerned if at this point Mr. Paulson or any of his agents came to us and said that the commitments they made financially, they now wanted to relax, and they now wanted to have the city share some responsibility for. So again, I will support this, but only understanding that it will be my intent that the resources needed to fill this $15 million gap come from the city, because that was the nature of the agreement that we made.
Given the look at the clock, I'd like council, if they have to make comments, can do so as they vote on the amendment, unless there's additional discussion.
I just wanted to clarify the amendment, if I could. Jim Van Dyke, City Attorney's Office. My understanding of your amendment, Commissioner Salzman, is that it would...
Do you have a copy of it?
It would. No, I don't.
It's simply under Section 2, it strikes paragraph 2.7, and then under Section 3, it strikes paragraph 3.5.
Yeah, I understood that. I thought it was important for the record to say that to clarify that the amendment goes to some terms in the pre-development agreement itself and does not modify any of the findings that the council has to make in the ordinances in order to exempt these contracts from the requirements of state law and city code regarding competitive low bidding. And because findings is a very technical term of art in state law regarding the exemption process, I thought it would just be important to clarify that at this time, that we're really talking about amending the pre-development agreement that's attached to the ordinance, not any of the findings.
You're okay with moving forward, though?
Oh, absolutely. I don't think that affects the validity of the findings.
Thank you very much. Carla, would you please call the roll on the proposed amendment?
I'm sorry, who seconded it?
I seconded it.
Fish?
So first of all, disclosure, I voted no on the soccer deal. Second, I voted yes on this amendment, and I want to read what I understood the amendment was when it came before council, because we pulled the transcript anticipating there'd be a discussion today. And the amendment was a motion to, quote, remove the $15 million from a new TIF area from the financing plan. That was the amendment. It was seconded. So I'm going to support this amendment, but I want to be clear. What I understood we were voting on last time, and I'm speaking as someone who voted no on soccer, so let's be clear, was we were expressing the will of the council to find an alternative source of financing other than TIF. I believe this amendment goes beyond that. But again, because of the time and because I think this issue can be revisited at some point, I'm going to vote aye.
Thank you.
Salzman?
Well, and just let me be clear. I am not saying absolutely I'm going to rule out city coming up with the funding. And it could be through urban renewal if there is, in fact, consensus among the county and the school districts and the public about forming a new urban renewal area. It could come through other avenues. But I think the intent of my amendment I made last time that Commissioner Fish just quoted was to not make a judgment as to whose responsibility it is to come up with that $15 million, that it remains a joint responsibility. And that's why I vote aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Fritz.
Well, I respect Commissioner Leonard wanting to honor the agreement that he made with the company. My understanding was the same as Commissioner Saltzman's, that it left a hole and it wasn't specified who was going to fill the hole. And it's really interesting to me how intelligent people who are paying a lot of attention can hear the same thing different ways. And I think illustrates your previous point about we should try to get amendments ahead of time so that we all understand exactly what we're voting on. But this was my understanding that there is a hole and it's both parties should be looking to try to fill it. Aye.
Adams.
Aye. Amendment is approved.
May I ask questions of Mr. Janet?
Absolutely.
Steve, it's a pleasure to have you here and have a chance to grill you.
Thank you, I think.
So I have a couple of questions, and I'm doing a little bit of catch-up, and I'm just trying to understand some of the elements of this agreement. And while Jeff Baer has made it clear that there's a narrow purpose for what is before us today, you have also put before us a document that we have to understand, and the document contains some terms. In that spirit, I'm going to ask you some questions. There has been a lot of debate in our community about the question of the linkage between Major League Soccer and Minor League Baseball, and in particular, whether or not the soccer deal is contingent on there being a separate venue for baseball. I want to give you a chance to address that because I haven't seen a document. I have not myself seen a document which addresses that, and presumably, if this is a requirement of Major League Soccer, it is in some document that we could look to.
First of all, this agreement doesn't address that linkage. There is no commitment on the part of the city in this document to commit to have two facilities. There's a commitment to commence work right now on the architectural and engineering work for two facilities, but not an ultimate commitment. It is not a requirement, as I understand it, of Major League Soccer that we have anything other than a Major League Soccer suitable stadium. It is a requirement of Peregrine that in order to go forward, there must be both a plan for a Major League Soccer stadium and a plan for a AAA baseball stadium. And the working assumption that exists right now is that the city is willing to work toward that goal.
Okay. So recital number C in the pre-development agreement says that the proposed transaction includes renovations to PGE Park as well as the construction of a new AAA park. So while I understand you're saying we're not committing to that, that is the spirit of the agreement before us. So what you just said is news to me. So I just want to make sure I understand it. You said that the requirement of a separate venue for baseball is not a requirement of Major League Soccer, but is a requirement of the owner-operator of these two sports franchises?
That's what we've been told, correct.
Okay. And without getting too deep into this, is there any that you're aware of, practical or legal reason, why we could not negotiate with Paragon a joint use agreement at PGE Park?
I know no legal reason that exists at the present time that would prevent that negotiation. I have no way of predicting the success of that negotiation.
Okay. And in light of what you've just said, there would also be no reason why we could not at least entertain a discussion about a phase-in, correct? Let's say a joint use for a period of time to create a cooling-off period for a larger community engagement over the planning for a possible minor league baseball stadium?
That I know of no legal impediment to doing that either.
Thank you.
More questions? Commissioner Fritz.
No, I'd actually like Mr. Janet to come back later because I'd really like to get to testimony before more people have to leave.
So any additional council discussion before we move to public testimony?
Just in response to Commissioner Fish's inquiry, the logistical, originally that's the way this plan was proposed, that there be joint operations. And the explanation that we had, which made sense, and whether, I don't know whether you've heard this or not, so I thought I should just add it to the discussion, is that from a business operations point of view, one Major League Soccer is here and playing. The expectation is for there to be potentially sellout crowds. So instantly you would have 20,000 plus fans, I think is the number, that would show up to go to a soccer game. The concern raised by the owner is that, as in any business venture, you want the first impression to be the best impression, and not doing the renovations that need to happen at PGE Park to create the best fan experience, including adding the bleachers on the east side, which is an integral part of this plan, denigrates the fan experience and causes some concern that the business model can be achieved. So though you're correct that I think MLS would be fine with them playing on the same field for two or even three seasons, the business concern is that it would diminish the experience for fans and cause maybe not to have people come back who otherwise might play. So the idea is to otherwise might attend. So the idea is to have the modifications done so the facility is appropriate for that amount of fans.
So we've had a little bit of airing out of that issue. I think there'll be more council discussion, but we have kept people waiting to testify, and I'd like to get to that list. Thank you, gentlemen. Carla, how many people have we signed up to testify?
We have 29.
Okay. I'd like you to try to keep your testimony to 2 minutes. What can be said in three can usually be said in two, so that we can get through everybody. If you are dead set that you've prepared remarks for three, then just let me know ahead of time. Carl, please call the testifiers.
First three, please come on up. Brian Libby, Ann Forstafel, and Daniel Deutsch.
Oh, I'm sorry. The first two can come up. I forgot to call on courtesies of the council to Governor Vicatia to also please come up and testify first. Mr. Governor, please take a seat up here. Governor, welcome to the Portland City Council. We're glad you're here.
Thank you. For many years, I've told the voters they do need to do a better job of selecting those that they're going to vote for. And they constantly ask me, how do you do that? And I never really had a good answer. Until one day I said, well, you need a higher level of awareness. And what I'm leading up to is that when I left office, I didn't stop thinking. I'm being concerned, and I continue to read the newspapers to keep up on what's going on. And now I'm watching the recent speed of moving to spending a lot of money for Major League Soccer, and it looks like it's closer to happening. And I have some really serious thoughts that I want to share with you. In this morning's Oregonian, this morning, talking about this case here that said more than $250 million. And they mentioned rehab of PGA Park. And I would ask the question, is all PGA Park, is it paid for now? I don't know. I'm just asking the question. I'm going to conclude with a question for the council. And revamp the Rose Quarter and demolish the Memorial Coliseum. And they didn't go on to say anything about the baseball park, but I'm sure that's part of it. And I, during my career, always tried to decide what's desirable and what's essential. There's a lot of things that are desirable, but not necessarily essential. What's happening now with the legislature, for example, is cutting many programs because they can't really meet their $4 billion shortfall. And among them is, I read again this morning's paper, the Commission on Children and Families being cut. And so I'm now relating to your discussion that $250 million for Major League Soccer versus whatever small amount there was for the Commission of Children or Families, but I want to use that for comparative purposes, for no other reason. So you need to know what's pulling my string. I come from a time when, before any of you were born, and when World War II drained the lives of thousands of soldiers, I came from a time when there's a great debate as to where we ought to place a memorial and the joy, the reality of the memorial to the dead, and it was called a Coliseum, Memorial Coliseum. And it was wonderful to see it happen. Now, I may be wrong, but I have not yet got the sense of urgency from anything I read in the paper. It seems to me a very cavalier, almost casual discussion of tearing down the Memorial Coliseum to put a baseball stadium in its place. I don't think that, and I'm going to get a little even more serious, that John Denning in the U.S. Navy, Gail Feldhouse of the Air Force, or Robert Jones of the Air Force, or Bryce Seitzinger of the infantry, if they were alive today, would be a champion of this program. You don't know them, of course, but I know them. I knew them. They were my friends. And they didn't volunteer to die. Bryce Seitzinger, wrote me a letter. They call V-mail. We call them emails today. That was an email. And he told me he was going to write me a long letter and that he was now over in Europe and there was a lot of movement going on and he would be writing me a longer letter. And then he said, I didn't realize how much I wanted to live till I got here. And a week later, I read in the Oregonian that he died. Now, there's many of them like that, many souls, many of them. I only pick these because I know them. They're real live people. And so I'm saying to you, as you go about what you're doing, think about the money you're going to spend. Think about those that we built the Memorial Coliseum for and all the soldiers that have brought it, make it the fact that I can come here today and you can be sitting there listening to me only because of them. And I ask you of two things. What form of a veterans memorial will you be doing if you decide to tear down the Memorial Coliseum? That should become prominent in your discussions, not subordinate. And second, because of things that you're aware of in the past and recent past, I would add, in which we saw sums of money change rapidly, I think it would do worthwhile. It will certainly help me, and it will help the citizens of Oregon. And I listened to some of your conversation earlier. If you could actually precisely, not accurately, I know, tell me and them exactly how much this is going to cost. And when we say the city is going to pay for it, I'm the city, so that means I'm going to pay for it, how much we're going to be obliged for, and how much of the debt for PGA Park and even probably the brand-new building that with the glass on it, how much we owe on those. In other words, give me the exact facts and let the paper print it so everyone can see what we're facing. And I expect a fairly accurate account, not a precise, but not as inaccurate a recent event that took place, and I won't mention it, Ona. That he almost got me that time, but now you get me for sure. So anyway, I thank you for the opportunity of telling you about my friends that are no longer with us, and they are a lot of people like them, men and women, And I want to see the memorial to them being a major part of your discussion, not of an oh, by the way discussion. Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor.
Governor, I appreciate the opportunity to hear your testimony today. Rest assured, since I've been an elected official, some of the first groups that we talked to and some of the continuing conversations over the past decade or so regarding the various potential futures for the Rose Quarter, the veterans groups, and some of them are here today that we've been dealing with, have been the first group that we've talked to. And we have talked about the potential decommissioning and always the discussion of a new memorial that we would involve them, as I discussed last night at the public meeting, in the planning design and every aspect of the memorial. We take this very, very seriously. So we really appreciate you being here today to underscore that. Thank you, Governor.
Thank you.
My name is Brian Libby, and I'm a journalist living here in Portland, and I write on freelance for The Oregonian and some other publications like The New York Times, Architectural Record, and I've been writing about architecture in Portland for about the last 10 years. And the reason I'm here is to speak in the strongest, albeit respectful, the strongest possible terms to argue for the preservation of Memorial Coliseum. In my 10 years of covering architecture in Portland, this is by leaps and bounds the biggest threat to a key architectural landmark in the city. And I'd like to qualify that by saying, of course, I'm excited to have Major League Soccer coming to Portland, and I realize also that the Portland Beavers need a home that is easily accessible by mass transit and lots of other considerations. But I just could never, ever support any stadium or any other project that is on the site of Memorial Coliseum or any project that threatens Memorial Coliseum. It is one of the great jewels of architecture in Portland. It was designed by the famous New York architecture firm Skidmore, Owings, and Merrill. And even if it wasn't designed by a famous architect, it is one of the most unique arenas or basketball arenas, not only in the United States, but anywhere in the world. There are generations of Portlanders who have memories of standing in that building, not only to see shows, but standing on the outside of it in the concourse and seeing a panoramic view of the whole city through a wall of glass. And I've never been to any facility of that kind in my life that has that kind of special architectural significance. And then also I'm troubled by the fact that the development plan for this space is being called a sustainable space, because you could build a platinum LEED rated building on this site and it would never be a green building, because demolishing a building is contrary to the very spirit of sustainability in terms of design and architecture. And I'd also like to emphasize that this is not something that I've said on my own. The National Trust for Historic Preservation, which is the largest preservation organization in the United States, has supported this preservation, and so has the American Institute of Architects and the hundreds of people who have written my Portland architecture site to express their opposition. In an ideal world, in a generation, the Rose Garden would be gone because it's vastly inferior as a piece of architecture, and Memorial Coliseum would still be here for our grandchildren. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Hi.
Good morning, Ann Forstoffel. And many different arguments have been used to advocate government funding on spending of sports stadiums. I implore each one of you to study the research that's been done on what really happens after sports stadiums are erected, new sports stadiums. Roger Knoll and Andrew Zimbalist have written a book on this, and the three things that they've concluded after 30 years of research is that new sports stadiums, what people always say, they generate jobs, they attract more business, and additional tax revenue and lease payments will be a long-term investment for the cities. That's contrary to what their findings have found out. Not one study has shown that those three things come about. Secondly, as a new resident in the Rose Quarter, I would like to address attracting new businesses. What will this new entertainment center be? What businesses will it attract? We're here in Portland because of our local businesses. We strive. That's why people move here. And I had a terrible vision last night in the meeting of seeing this new 24/7 entertainment complex, contrary to why I live here, and I think many other people live here, because of the businesses that attract. The prices will be high for the lease space, I'm sure, And is it going to attract Dave and Buster's? Is it going to attract, what's it going to attract? It's so generic. It could be placed in any city. So I really implore this commission to really look at what we're looking at doing to the Rose Quarter in general and what will be the long pack standing. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your testimony. Appreciate it. Carla, can you read the next names?
The next three are Daniel Deutsch, Jeffrey Paul Well, and Terry Parker. And they'll be followed by Chris Bleiser, Ann Talbot DiLoretto, and Val Ballerstrom.
Good morning, almost good afternoon. Welcome to the City Council. All you have to do is give us your first and last name, and just the clock will guide your time.
Okay. Jeffrey Paul Weil, and I am a veteran.
Go ahead and go.
I'm going to make it very simple and very short. I have terminal cancer as a result of my service to my country. Three tours of action. I have built memorials all over this state and other states. If you go downtown Beaverton on Watson Street, you will see a beautiful park, memorial with people from Civil War, Revolutionary War, bricks are in the wall. The United States Air Force, which I served, flies over every Memorial Day and Veterans Day, tips their wing, and one jet goes off in a different direction. I am proud of this state. I grew up in New Jersey, but I'm very proud of Portland. What I implore is, one, you preserve the integrity of Coliseum. It is literally a memorial of its own. Two, we don't need any other sports venues here at this juncture. We have enough. And for a state that is suffering economically, it behooves me. Where's the money? People don't come here anymore. Not to the extent that they used to. We're what number on the list as far as states, economically? Intel Corporation, which I worked for since 1981, one of the founding members of Intel, Andy Grove, Bob Noyce, Gordon Moore. I was badge number 9. Intel was treated by the state of Oregon like garbage. They almost did not build here.
Thank you for your testimony, and thank you for your service. And I wish you, I wish you all the best with your health challenges. Mr. Parker.
Oh, I thought I was the third one, but I'll go ahead. I have written this for 3 minutes. My name is Terry Parker.
Then we'll let you have 3 minutes.
What we have here is a failure to communicate. It is obvious this stadium deal has been put together with a stacked deck working group of special interests, all done behind closed doors and without the transparency a public process should entail. The public piece of this process needs to be upfront and come first with the decisions being made, not after. It is absurd to suggest that public input from non-decisive studies for Rose Quarter development alternatives nearly 10 years ago can now qualify as upfront public involvement for this new, short-sighted, and fast-tracked stadium proposal. One thing remains the same. 10 years ago, there was a strong sentiment to preserve the Memorial Coliseum. It was clear at last evening's meeting the majority of the people in attendance were there in defense of keeping this iconic landmark where it now stands. Yet the overriding message seemed to fall on deaf ears and failed to be sanctioned by those lecturing and dictating to the audience from the front of the room. Suggesting the Memorial Coliseum can be relocated is another deceptive trick, an unfunded ruse that has no credibility when coming from a mayor who already orchestrated a bait-and-switch tactic by moving the proposed baseball stadium from Lentz to the Rose Quarter. Merritt Paulson himself has stated to the media he already has other plans for reusing materials from the Memorial Coliseum. So who is lying and who is running this dog and pony scam? Many architects agree the greenest buildings that exist today are the ones already built. The construction of the Memorial Coliseum was proved by the voters as a tribute that honors fallen veterans, and therefore its fate must also reflect the will of the voters a will that currently is to keep this historic building. Moreover, the mid-century architecture of a stadium in a glass box was one of the first built to be built that way, making the Memorial Coliseum an architecturally significant and distinctive structure in its own right. Tearing it down would not only be a travesty and a dishonor to many veterans, but it is also outright consumption, plain and simple. Additionally, there are many unanswered financial questions being raised about the funding for this proposed stadium construction. Portland City Services cannot afford creating, enlarging, or existing the life of yet another urban renewal district. Are the books being cooked to make it happen? An independent audit must take place before any financial deal is signed. The runaway spending train needs to be slowed down to bring some form of sanity to this process. Alternative stadium sites, possibly at Delta Park or in Cascade Station development, need to be considered. With a slower process that actually reaches out to the public for input, the Beavers could be accommodated for one season by erecting temporary seating and fencing at one of the many, many Portland public park ball fields. The Memorial Coliseum needs to be saved from the wrecking ball, echoing the majority of the insanity, of the intensity, and more than one speakers from last night, don't tear down this historic building. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Parker. Daniel.
Hello, Council. My name is Daniel Deutsch, and I'm in. I have a building in the Lloyd District, and I thought it would be remiss if I didn't comment. There are a lot of strong opinions in here, and I thought I would try to look at it from a little bit of a different angle, more of a broader perspective on the Lloyd District. And first, I want to say I understand the directive to create jobs and to galvanize the economy and the need to create activity in the district. And I do appreciate that. I think that that kind of leadership is necessary in times like this. The two concerns that I have that I don't really hear being talked about, and it's something that I've spent a lot of time cultivating in my own work, and they are being talked about, but not in the way that I would. One is the Portland culture and the progressive agenda, and in many ways, Sam is seen as embodying this. I mean, this is kind of like a lot of people, you know, the green streets, the streetcar, volunteering, reusing, composting. I mean, I could go on. That to me is the thing that separates Portland from every other city. We don't have fabulous skyscrapers. We don't have, you know, we're not New York City. We're not LA. We're not all these things. And I don't think that's necessarily bad. In fact, a lot of those people are coming to Portland right now. I may need another minute. I didn't realize it was going to take this long. So I guess what I want to say is I really want that to be recognized, that it's one of Portland's most precious resources, our culture, our community, especially on the east side. And I know that you do, because I see it exemplified in many ways. So in reconsidering that development, I think Ann touched on it for a moment, but who are our neighbors going to be? I want to understand that more deeply. The second thing that I wanted to talk about, and I'll make this as brief as I can, is sustainability and repurposing the building. Obviously, there's a spectrum of sustainability, and I think everyone would agree the most sustainable thing you could do is to, you know, reuse the existing building, and the least you could do is, not consider the environment at all. And I understand there's a spectrum, and it's a complicated thing. What I'd be interested in doing is see if you guys would be willing to look at an alternative option, maybe put a call out to developers and private money in Portland and seeing if they'd be willing to invest in repurposing the Coliseum. Or I know at one point Cordis was looking at reusing the building for their, you know, for their use. And maybe on some level we could pull together and you could actually see if the public is serious and see if they're, you know, can put action to their words. So, I mean, I would welcome that, and I think that you'd find that the public would receive that really well, that kind of challenge. And if they don't come to it, they don't. So, anyway, thank you.
Thank you both for your testimony.
Next three are Chris Bleisler, I believe it is, on North Williams, Ann Talbot DiLoretto, and Val Ballastrom.
Now it's afternoon. Good afternoon. Welcome to the City Council. Glad you're here. You just have to give us your first and last name, and that clock will guide your time.
I've never been here before. I'd really appreciate 3 minutes because I wrote it for three. I'm going to talk really fast.
We'll give you three and good luck.
The Rose Quarter has 4,300 parking spaces for 20,000 people.
And which, for the record, I have to have you say your name.
Oh, I'm sorry. Christopher Blyler, and I live on Williams, Elliott neighborhood.
Thank you.
I'm here as a neighbor, by the way. Rose Quarter has 4,300 parking spaces for 20,000 people, which equals 4.65 humans per car. If 4,000 of the 20K ride the max bike or walk, that's 16,000. This means every car parked in the Rose Quarter and Lloyd lots arrived with 3.7 humans. 1,700 of the 4,300 spaces are at Lloyd lots where people ride the fareless max. The capacity of a max train is 268 humans every 5 minutes for 1 hour before game time. That equals 3,216 max riders plus the 1,700 Lloyd parked fareless riders, which is about 5,000 humans on the max, which means everyone on the max for 1 hour before the game is going to see the Trailblazers. There's no room for grandma unless she is a Blazer fan. 784 people ride bikes or walk to games. Right. How many bike racks are at the Rose Quarter? 16,000 arrive in cars with 3.7 humans inside. So let's remove one person from each car and round down the number, the 0.7 for fudge room, or add it to the walkie bikey folks for the carbon footprint thing. That basically leaves 2 plus people per car, and that's 2,000 cars parked in the neighborhoods. Long and the short is that it ends up impacting 25 actual blocks of overflow parking that the Rose Quarter can't figure out that they currently need and use. I'm concerned that they will not include any sort of plan to deal with this if they make the Rose Quarter an entertainment district. I would prefer that there be a slower process. I don't want them to value engineer a bunch of promises that they can't keep or PR us about sustainability and good urban planning. They don't have the cred. They never did. This is an opportunity to redesign something far greater than a simple and ignored parking issue or even an ignored good neighbor agreement. It's an opportunity to redesign something for Portland, something far greater than solutions to Kansas City's or Louisville's problems. This is Portland with skilled firms that would rally together to design this and set the bar for everyone else. The process has been ignored. This is Portland. You should know better. And a recession does not excuse process nor responsible development. Plan this well. Do more than your best. We live here. You live here. This is Portland. Thank you.
Thanks for your testimony.
Hi. Hi. My name is Ann Talbot DiLoretto, and I'm a native Portlander, live in Northeast Portland. The owner of an old and tired iconic building wants to tear it down for something new and shiny. Yet when this building was completed and during its heyday, it was the talk of the town, entertained guests of all walks of life and gave Portland a sense of place. Visitors came from far and wide to visit and stay and see and be seen. Designed by one of the great architectural firms in the country, it was touted as a great architectural work. Now it's old, it needs maintenance, it's outdated and must be demolished. No other options exist. If this sounds vaguely familiar, it's because we're back in 1951 when the city allowed the destruction of the old Portland Hotel. It took almost 30 years to overturn that mistake and make it a positive asset. How sad that our memories are so short. And that is the point you need to consider as you view this sole source agreement. Portland is littered with the dreams of potential development. The Burnside Bridgehead, vacant for 5 years, blocks around Emmanuel Hospital, vacant for 40 years, Killingsworth and Interstate, vacant for 8 years. So before you rush to tear down under the guise of new money, let's exhaust all other possibilities. Let's not repeat our past. Mayor Adams was quoted in Oregonian as saying that there are legitimate exceptions to Portland's public process, and I say that this is not the issue to dismiss citizen input. Not when it involves destroying an iconic mid-century architectural masterpiece, and which is dedicated to in memorial to Oregonians that have given their life in service for our country. And it is not when the neighbors are dead set against it. Anyway, I guess my time's up, but I just would like you to hold off and move slower and allow for process.
Thank you for your testimony. Sir.
My name is Val Ballastrom. I'm the education manager for the Bosco Milligan Foundation. We are the local partner of the National Trust for Historic Preservation. I'm speaking today on their behalf to present their concerns about the potential demolition of Memorial Coliseum. The National Trust would like to express its support for the preservation of Memorial Coliseum. They were alarmed to learn of the possible demolition of this architecturally significant modernist building, especially on such short notice. The unique qualities of the Memorial Coliseum structure and its importance to the community require a careful evaluation of alternatives before its demolition is considered. The National Trust is also highly skeptical of claims that the demolition of this Portland landmark is a sustainable solution. In fact, demolition followed by new construction would be a dramatic step backward in Portland's goal of becoming the world's most sustainable city. The Memorial Coliseum contributes significantly to the city of Portland and the state of Oregon. Designed by Skidmore, Owings, and Merrill, the Coliseum is architecturally notable for its cantilevered steel truss roof, freestanding concrete arena bowl, and glass curtain wall enclosure. The glass exterior facade is an uncommon treatment for arenas from this era. The rarity of this style, therefore, contributes to the structure's historic significance. The Coliseum is an award-winning building, and it is currently listed on the City of Portland's Historic Resource Inventory as a Rank 1 resource. The Rank 1 rating distinguishes Memorial Coliseum as one of the most important historic properties in the city, notable for its outstanding qualities of architecture, historic values, and integrity. By seeking the successful reuse of this building, Portland can demonstrate its leadership in the preservation of historic architecture while working cooperatively toward developing a practical model for communities nationwide that are debating new uses for their aging arenas. Finally, the National Trust is concerned that the mayor has supported demolition of the Coliseum under the mantra of sustainability and questions the accuracy of this assumption. Choosing new construction over reuse is rarely the most sustainable choice. New construction requires a massive expenditure of energy to manufacture or extract building materials, transport them to the construction site, and assemble them into a new building. A substantial amount of energy is already embodied in the Coliseum's sizable steel and glass frames. The replacement of existing structural components with newly manufactured and newly extracted materials must be factored into the environmental cost if the city is to tout sustainability as an objective of this plan. Memorial Coliseum is an asset to Portland's heritage, and all efforts should be made for its preservation. Thank you.
Thanks for your testimony. Next three.
It would be Kathy Galbraith, April Burris, and Kristen Miner. And they'll be followed by Will Maith, Thomas Philipson, and Joseph Renday.
Good morning. Welcome to the City
Good
Council.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon now. Sorry. Welcome to the City Council. Glad you're here.
I'm Kathy Galbraith. I'm the Executive Director of the Bosco Milligan Foundation, and I am here to speak in opposition to the potential demolition of Memorial Coliseum, and I think it is impossible for anyone in this room to separate the ordinances in front of you with the planned redevelopment in the Rose Quarter and the loss of Memorial Coliseum. The Coliseum is reaching the 50-year age mark for its eligibility for the National Register of Historic Places, and it's clearly eligible. Within 1 year of its construction, it was nationally recognized for its architecture and its technical innovations. In the Elliott neighborhood, 1,386 buildings have been demolished beginning in the 1950s, and specifically for Memorial Coliseum, 476 homes and dozens of businesses, primarily African-American owned and operated, were sacrificed to build the Coliseum. I don't think we should be disregarding that sacrifice by tearing down that resource before its time. The historic preservation philosophy nationwide, which is sustainable by definition, says to make a brick today to build a building on a site where there is already a building steals from two generations. It steals from the generation that built the brick originally by throwing away those assets before its work is done. And it steals from a future generation by using increasingly scarce natural resources today when they should be saved for tomorrow. We have already consumed enough of somebody else's assets, and it is time for us to make better use of our own. Demolition is anything but by eco-friendly, no matter how we want to spin the terms and our wishful thinking. One final point, demolition by neglect is a internationally known philosophy. We should not punish the Coliseum by citing its condition issues because of our lack of maintenance and our lack of investment as a city. I would also plead with you to not move hastily to demolish anything before all the ifs, ands, or buts and all of the questions that have been raised in past, present, and probably future meetings are answered. Thank you.
Thanks for your testimony. Go ahead.
My name is Kristen Miner. My background is an architect and planner. I'm now working as a historian. I'm also a soccer mom. But most importantly, I'm a citizen of Portland and of the Pacific Northwest. And I have 3 points for your consideration. I'll try to be brief. First, I want to talk about the process. The process so far has not been linear. And last night, Mayor Adams, you presented your ideas for the Rose Quarter, and you said numerous times that there had been years of study of the Memorial Coliseum. Those studies have mostly been focused on adaptive reuse. So those are useful. That work can hopefully continue. We can draw upon that and add to it. But where is the conversation about finding an appropriate location for a new baseball stadium? Maybe even keeping baseball at PGE Park for some time. This is really the missing link, and this is the part of the conversation that we need to slow down and put options on the table. My second point is conversations about the aging infrastructure at the Coliseum seem to be a bit of a red herring. Every structure, every building requires maintenance. We need to have the conversation about what we value, what we support over time. In today's Oregonian, there was an opinion piece by Merritt Paulson. He said, quote, "Retiring Memorial Coliseum and using the site for the new stadium makes the most sense because it would take advantage of the existing Rose Quarter parking garages, eliminating the need to build costly new ones." Now, this is a pretty stunning admission. Our leadership values parking garages more than our glass palace, that the east side is valued for all the parking, and that's about it. And one last point quickly. The Memorial Coliseum belongs to all of us. It is part of our collective history, and its contribution is huge. It is so easy to forget 50 years later how radical and innovative this space and structure were at the time. My office, Peter Meijer Architects, is finishing up a nomination of the building to the National Register. No one is paying us to do this, but it is the right thing to do, if only to buy time to allow more ideas to come to the table.
Thank you for your testimony. Appreciate it. Hi.
Hi, my name's April Burris. I'm a native Portlander, and so I grew up here, and I've seen lots of changes. Right now, I live in the Northeast neighborhood, in the North Tabor neighborhood, actually. The question of funding the construction of a soccer stadium, in my mind, shouldn't even be a question right now. I mean, it's a question of whether your priorities are for a business venture that may, in the future, enhance the city, or taking care of your citizens right now. And I would really hope in this time of financial crisis that I could say that my mayor and my council members were more interested in taking care of the citizens of their city and realize that, you know, investing in the citizens of their city rather than in businesses that may someday enhance our city is the most important thing. I mean, I think at least that's why I elect my city council is because I want to live in a good city where there are services for people. And at this time, when public services are being cut because the city is in financial crisis, my priority would be to take care of the citizens. And another thing I heard this morning that really bothered me is that you were looking at having the soccer stadium being built with an exemption to a competitive bidding process. I'd like to find out more about that. We have competitive bidding processes for a reason so that we can include everybody. And again, I think it's about, you know, whether your priority is people or whether your priority is, you know, the future of this city that may or may not come to pass.
Thank you for your testimony. Really appreciate it.
Next three are Will Maith, Thomas Phillipson, and Joseph Reddy. And they'll be followed by Leroy Cameron, Samuel Lumsey, and Gil Fry.
I will.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the City Council. You can go ahead and begin.
We lost somebody there. My name is Thomas Phillips, and I work at the Portland Art Museum, the Northwest Film Center. I'm not an expert about architecture or historic preservation, but I am passionate about these items. You've heard a lot of testimony about why the building, the Memorial Coliseum, is significant. I did not get a feeling in the meeting that was held yesterday, the town hall meeting, that there was no acknowledgement of that from you, Mayor Adams, that it is an important building and just exactly what is significant about it. Modern architecture is often difficult to really appreciate, and this building especially, I don't think is fully appreciated by people because it's difficult to tell the construction of it with the black curtain that is around it right now. It's hard to tell that it is a freestanding teacup inside of a glass curtain wall, which is a very magnificent piece of architecture if you could see it without the curtain there. I don't know if any of you ever have. I've seen pictures of it. So I just want you to value that. I want you to value this expert testimony that you've heard from historic preservationists and architects just as you would an engineer who would tell you if this building was going to crumble in the next 10 minutes, you'd probably get out. Value the expertise that you're being told. I would hope that you would. I don't want to preach to you. Sorry if it sounds like that. And also, I just want you to think about all the options that are still could be open that don't involve demolishing the Coliseum. It feels right now that that's a fait accompli, that you've decided that's the only option to bring soccer to Portland and to find a house for the Beavers is to demolish the Memorial Coliseum. I think there are other options. I think you're all creative problem solvers and can probably come up with something that we'll all be happier with. Thanks.
Thanks for your testimony, sir.
Yes, my name is Will Mock. I'm a professor of urban planning and development at Portland State. I've distributed to you a copy of an article in a forthcoming urban development journal that we publish. It describes seven different uses for the Coliseum, and it also raises a number of public policy questions beginning there on page 16. Let me highlight a couple of things for you, if I may. Strangely, the use for which the Coliseum is most well adapted has received the least attention as a Coliseum. One must understand the basic deal structure to surmise the reasons for this lack of attention. While Paul Allen's Oregon Arena Corporation has the obligation to cover any operating losses at the Coliseum, it must pay 60% from the Coliseum to the city, and they can retain 40% as a management fee. Events at the Rose Garden are not so burdened. While the city may have believed that the agreement was favorable to it, one must realize that it is in the economic interest of the manager to hold just enough events at the Coliseum to keep it at a break-even level, but no more, because there's not incentive to exceed that level, especially when all the profit available for holding the same event is there at the Rose Garden. Furthermore, the Oregon Arena Corporation was granted and enjoys development rights for any non-public development that would occur on the Coliseum site, but has no such rights for public development. It is in OAC's economic interest for the city to declare that there is no public use for the Coliseum, and over the years, it has advocated precisely solutions that demolish it. Does it make any economic sense to demolish an historic icon for which so many uses have been developed to spend at least $55 million building a baseball stadium that would operate only 6 months of the year and house only 70 home games? What will produce revenue there on the other 295 days of the year? In a rainy area like Portland, why does it make sense to demolish a covered, enclosed, and heated venue usable year-round for a multiplicity of uses with one which is only open half of the year and then only for a single use?
You're If you could wrap up your comments.
I will.
You're heading towards 3 minutes.
Thank you. I will. Of the alternatives, the best in terms of preserving the public's economic, historic, civic, and public investment may well be the simplest, improving and operating the Coliseum as a Coliseum under the management of Merck, which used to operate it. How can the city decide in a period of weeks, after private discussions with only two companies owned by wealthy families who each advance their own private economic interest, to demolish an historic 50-year-old public asset that has served the community well? The Hippocratic Oath, to which every doctor swears allegiance, is to first do no harm. Do not the city commissioners owe the same allegiance to public citizens who elected them? What sense of public priorities and public interest does this course of action reveal, and why should the public support any city commissioner who advances it?
You're now going on 4 minutes. I need you to wrap up.
When city leaders publicly purport to create the most sustainable entertainment district in the United States, is it not incumbent upon them to show that the demolition of a complex that can itself be the embodiment of energy efficiency is sustainable?
Thank you. I think we've got your written testimony. Very compelling. Appreciate you being here.
Professor Mack, thank you so much for your comprehensive analysis and for sending it to us ahead of time. I appreciated it very much.
Thank you.
Next three. First, was Joseph here? Okay, next three are Leroy Cameron, Samuel Lumsey, and Gil Fry. And they'll be followed by Douglas Obletz, Martha Peck Andrews, and Henry Kane.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the City Council. You just need to give us your name, and you'll have 2 minutes.
My name is Samuel Lumsey, Sam Adams, the Portland Commission. I would like to use the full 3 minutes, please.
Sure.
Thank you. I have a few points I want to make, a few comments I would like to share. First, I want to ask the question for the public and for the council, is Portland a city that's destroying itself? I love sports. I really love sports. I love the excitement, the passion. As a former athlete, I understand what it takes to train hard, to prepare, and to just be very disciplined. And I know the same principles involve city planning. And I'm really excited about city planning. I like urban development, and I really would like to see some things come out of the Rose Quarter and the Rose Garden area. With respect to Mayor Adams, Randy Leonard, and the commission, I know it's important also for politicians to approach business leaders and to work with them and to get them to help us build our city. I think that's very important, but I do not think it's appropriate at the stakes of the citizens. I oppose tearing down Memorial Coliseum. I don't like to talk about greed too much. It's a topic that is difficult for me, but being a positive person and stuff, but I do recognize that it's out there, and it's fair to acknowledge that. So my question is this. Who is this stadium really for? Is it something that the public wanted, or is it something that Paulson, Mr. Mayor Paulson, wants? I just think that the public should know that and be thinking about these type of questions. There's also talks about an entertainment district, which 24/7, it sounds excitement, you know, is action. And as a young person, I'm excited about that. But I also know that the youth here in Oregon have a problem with alcohol. And so when you're talking about building an entertainment system that's 24/7 and then having bars and restaurants, and I just feel like that contributes to society in a negative way. And again, is this something that we're looking at for our society, for the community and the individuals, or is this something that we're doing for our business leaders? Again, it's important to work with the business leaders, but not at the expense of the public. With this a minute, I will try to be brief and figure out what else I want to say. I think eagerness is great. I think, again, you know, we should look at doing some things. I'm excited that we have an opportunity to bring Major League Soccer to Portland. I think that the opportunity will come if we can't make it happen now. And as a democracy, you guys have the power to vote. And I will hope that you guys will take time and deliberate very thoughtfully on what's best for the community. Again, eagerness is great, but rushing a project is just unacceptable. Also, I just have to remind you guys that we are in a recession, and while it's good to stimulate the economy, we should be thinking about the individuals. And building a nice facility which it requires money to be a part of. There's a lot of people in Portland who don't have the money. I myself is one of them, even though I work full-time because I'm a student at PCC and I'm concerned about the budget. Thank you.
Thanks, Samuel. Good afternoon.
I'm back.
Good to see you again.
Thank you very much. My name is Gil Fry, and I'm from here in Portland. I do not represent the Rhodes Festival, nor the OSAA, or the Winterhawks, or Brian Parrott. I'm sort of independent. I'm a